the government doesn't need to be tracking children.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and today we're talking with Michael Donnelly. He's with the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, and he is representing in a case that involves a German couple that is fleeing Germany, asking for asylum in the United States because Germany does not let them homeschool their five children. Mike, thanks for talking to us. Tell us, kind of as a starting point, the brief facts, which are not in dispute, of the Romicki case.
Well, the family, Romicki family, are from Germany. They're from Baden-Württemberg, a state in southern Germany, where they were living and sent their children to public school. They decided that that was not the place where they wanted their children to continue to learn for a variety of reasons.
And this part of the reason was is that they felt that the school was putting forth bad role models. They are Christian.
They are a Christian family, and they were concerned with the values that were being taught in the school. Mm-hmm. They felt that that was conflicting with the values that they wanted to teach their children.
So they wanted to pull their kids out of the school, but Germany, strangely, or maybe not so strangely, does not allow homeschooling, is that correct?
That's correct. There have been a number of Supreme Court cases in Germany where the German Constitutional Court has said that it's all right for the states in Germany to ban home education because the public has an interest in counteracting or stamping out parallel societies and integrating minorities into the mainstream. Those are the words they use.
Right, and talk a little bit about this because there's been some, in some of the discussions about the case, there has been a kind of a feeling that this is a Nazi era law, that you know, the Nazis wanted to control people, they wanted to control kids through the education system, and
that's
it actually goes back further than that in Germany.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
But, you know, where does that fear now, I mean, after the war, it's that they don't want homeschoolers to be teaching their kids Nazism or something like that, but where does the fear come from in Germany?
Well, when you talk about this being a Nazi-era law, which is what Judge Berman, who granted the Romickis asylum back in 2010, used those words.
In the U.S., yes.
He granted them asylum in the U.S. in 2010. Right. When you look back at the education laws in Germany, you see that in 1938, Hitler's Reich, and it wasn't just Hitler, it was the whole parliament in Germany, passed a law that nationalized the education system in Germany and criminalized parents who did not send their children to the state schools. And post World War II, they never put back in the exceptions that existed that would have permitted parents to have private tutorial exceptions or to homeschool their children. And so when you talk about it being a Nazi era law, that's what people mean, that's what the judge meant.
Now, so the Romickis, they left Germany because they were actually afraid that they could lose custody of their children. They come to the United States, and then in an early court ruling, they were actually granted asylum as people who were fleeing a regime that would punish them or persecute them for their beliefs. Where does that stand now?
Well, they were awarded asylum by Judge Berman in 2010 for two reasons. One, because Judge Berman found that the German application of their school law was frustrating the Romickis' religious convictions. Mm-hmm. And secondly, that homeschoolers were a particular social group that the Romickis were part of, and that the German government was oppressing or persecuting them because of that. And those are two elements within the Asylum Act that you can qualify for asylum
but
for.
That's not where the case stands right now.
No. So post-victory in 2010, the Obama administration appealed that victory to the Board of Immigration Appeals, and in their arguments they actually said that homeschooling wasn't a fundamental right and it shouldn't be protected, and that homeschoolers were not a particular social group. The Board of Immigration Appeals agreed with the government, overturned Judge Berman's decision, and we have now appealed on behalf of the family to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals.
What's your main case to say, because this is, there's an interesting kind of argument about homeschooling and whether or not a state should be, whether or not a state should allow people to homeschool. And in the U.S., generally speaking, we're allowed to do that. But then how does that play into a kind of immigration, refugee, asylum issue?
Well, homeschooling is legal in all 50 states in America and only has been for the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, people in America, homeschoolers in America, were actually experiencing the same kind of oppression that these folks are fleeing from Germany.
So, well, let's, before we move on to the German issue, what flipped? Because this reminds me of, Little Rascals episodes or Our Gang comedies. You would always see the truant officer coming around and the kids would be hiding out.
Sure.
So how did homeschooling become legal?
Well, it was a lot of work on a lot of part of a lot of people going to their state legislatures, filing court cases. Our association was involved in a lot of those court cases. We've been around for almost 30 years. It was a popular uprising, if you will. Right. There were tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people getting involved. And they said, we want to do this. We want to have this choice. The laws don't recognize for it in some states. Now, there were states that it was recognized in. And so they went to the legislatures. They filed court cases, a number of famous court cases. And over the last 30 years, it's now become legal in America. And, you know, you go back to 1925, Pierce v. Society of Sisters, a very famous Supreme Court case that said that parents have a fundamental right under the United States federal constitution to direct the education and upbringing of their children. That was in the context of an Oregon law that was passed actually by initiative by the voters of Oregon saying, no, no private schools in Oregon, you have to send your children to public schools only, really based, supported by the Ku Klux Klan and an anti-Catholic animus at that time. That's what was going on. And the federal Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court said, nope, can't do that. Yeah, parents have a fundamental right.
So, now, private education. To bring it to the Romeike case, you know, why, you know, if they were Americans, certainly they would have the right to homeschool their kids. Right. Why should we allow them to come as refugees?
Well, the Asylum Act allows people to qualify for asylum if they're in the United States. The Romeikes came here, they got here. If they're persecuted or have a well-founded fear of being persecuted on the basis of five protected classes, particular social group, their religion, national origin, their race, and political opinion. Okay, we argued that their religious beliefs and their members of a particular social group. In Germany, homeschoolers are repressed. There are stories and cases, scores of cases of families fleeing the country, going to other countries. They're fined tens of thousands of dollars. Their children are taken away. Another Supreme Court case in Germany, the second one, actually said that homeschooling is an abuse of parental rights. This is a frightening thing to be coming from the German high courts, a country with a concerning history. Right. Now, let me just say this. Germany is a free country. Yeah. It's a democratic country. It's an ally of the United States. It's a, in many ways, a very good country. But this is one area where I think people have a reason to be concerned. When you're trying to, you know, prevent people from teaching their children what they want to teach them, that's very concerning.
So, when will the case be decided, and what kind of odds are you given? You know, granted, you're an interested party, so we know you're going to win easily and beautifully.
Well, actually, well, we hope so.
Yeah, but it's, when will we find out what?
Well, oral arguments are set for April 23rd in the Sixth Circuit Court in Cincinnati. So we'll be arguing then. The Sixth Circuit could take up to a year or more, you know, to release
a decision. What do the Romeikes do in the meantime? Do they get bounced from the country, or are they allowed to stay here?
They are staying here. They're staying here, and, you know, the Obama administration has given a directive to the immigration enforcement people not to deport people who don't have a criminal record, apparently. So we don't think there's any real risk of them being deported.
Okay. Tell us a little bit more where people can learn about the Homeschool Legal Defense Association.
We have a website, hslda.org. It's a rich resource for people who are interested in this case or interested in homeschooling or educational freedom.
What are the other issues? I mean, homeschooling on the growing spectrum or the increasingly populated spectrum, wide spectrum of school choice is, you know, out there on one side. You know, what are the big issues that face American homeschoolers these days? Because it is legal.
It is.
But, you know, what are the main concerns?
Well, I think the main concerns that we have is that at the state levels, there's continuing efforts to rein in, curtail, control, you know, registration requirements, state-imposed testing requirements. I mean, in Connecticut, for example, the legislature there is trying to pass a law that require homeschooled children to be subjected to behavioral health assessments by the government. How does that sound?
Yeah.
That sounds a little bit oppressive, if you ask me. I mean, it's not the government's place to be investigating the children's psychological profile who are homeschooled. Now, this law would also apply to public school children as well. It's not the place of the government to be doing that either, in my opinion. So those are the kinds of things that are out there. There are groups that want to control people.
At what point would it be, would you say, as a member of the homeschooling community, that it that the state does have a right to take a kid out of a homeschooling situation? Can you, you know, is there a tripwire that you would say is legitimate?
Well, you know, we understand that there is a role for the government to play, and if a child is being abused or neglected, then you know, seriously abused or neglected, there's a place for the government to step in and protect that innocent child. You know, by and large, parents who homeschool their children are not the kind of people who are going to abuse or neglect their children. There have been cases, very few cases, I would add, just a handful of cases over the years where people have said, well, look at that, for example, the Benita Jacks case in D.C. where this mother ostensibly took her children out of school to homeschool them, and she actually murdered right. four of her children. And that's not a homeschooling parent. Right. And in that case, the social authorities were actually involved. So, you don't see that really in a situation where parents are really homeschooling their children.
I mean, what is the level that the state should be tracking kids just to mm-hmm. make sure that they are not disappearing or mm-hmm. whatever, if they're taken out of public schools or a census, yeah. things like that?
Well, our view is that the government doesn't need to be tracking children. Mm-hmm. Parents are responsible for their children. The government mm-hmm. doesn't need to intervene unless there's evidence to indicate that there's something going wrong. In America, there are 10 or 11 states that require absolutely no contact between a homeschooling family and the government. In other states, it's in about another 14 or 15 states, you just simply file a notice, either a one-time notice or an annual notice, letting them know, hey, we're doing this. And we think that's okay. In the other states, some of them impose testing requirements. These have been found to be reasonable regulations right. that have been upheld by mm-hmm. some courts. In some cases, they haven't been tested. I mean, the Pierce case, in saying that the child is not the mere creature of the state, also right. said that the state can reasonably regulate mm-hmm. and establish minimum standards. So, constitutionally and from a legal perspective, certainly the government has a role. Right. Our view is it doesn't have to exercise that role. Mm-hmm. I think you can trust parents. And I think what the homeschool experience in America has demonstrated is that, parents who really are homeschooling their children are doing a really good job.
Final question. You homeschooled your own children. Mm-hmm. What would you do? What would you say to them if they come to you and say, Dad, I really want to go to school. I want to go to a traditional public school assigned by residents. Would you try and talk them out of it, or would you recognize that you had failed as a teacher?
I'd probably do both. I'll tell you what I would, if my children, and they haven't done that, I have a 15 down to 2, I've got mm-hmm. 7 children, and I think they understand the freedom that homeschooling allows them. They have some friends in church and things mm-hmm. that go to public school. They understand what the public school is about. I don't hide the public right. schools from them. I talk to them about the benefits that they have. They don't have to get up at mm-hmm. 6 in the morning to get on a bus. They can pursue their interests. Right. They can spend the amount of time that they want to spend on things that they're interested in.
Will your children go to college?
If that's where mm-hmm. they feel led, if that's, I'm not going to push them to go to college if they don't really feel like that's where they should go. I think there is a place for college. I think, today in the educational environment of our nation as it is developing, there are so many options for children today, both high school and college, where they don't really need to go anywhere. Now, mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with going to a 4-year brick and mortar school, either high school or college, but you don't have to do that, and there are many children who don't. In a homeschool environment, for example, my children, I have a 14-year-old who's taken an AP class online. Mm-hmm. My 15-year-old took one last year, passed the AP exam, he's already got college credit. Right. This is not atypical. This is typical with homeschoolers, and I think what you see with the homeschooling movement is really on the cutting edge of pushing kind of technology mm-hmm. and instructional methodology. And I think that's where we're going as a country, and it's exciting to see that.
It is. The personalization and the kind of deinstitutionalization of education is fascinating, and it seems, if anything, it's new now, but it's a return to very old practices. So we'll leave it there.
Thank you, Mike Donnelly,
he's with the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. We'll also follow up on the Romicky case. So thanks very much for talking to Reason TV.
Thank you, Nick.
For Reason TV, I'm Nick Gillespie.